And I posted its second post. It wasn't worth the full first price stamp. What do you think, Marion?
Do you know what the most common solution to breakups is?
I wasn't aware there was a solution. Though I did once eat a trifle with me hands and that felt amazing.
It's rejecting rejection.
Rejecting rejection?
Yes. When a partner decides to call it quits, some people just say no.
But surely if someone wants to leave, they'll just leave.
Oh, Sarah, it's like you've never emotionally manipulated a man before.
I haven't.
Should we do some role play?
Are you offering?
Yeah, I'm enjoying the action since I started reading the audio books. I do all the voices as well. Posh, David and all the other Spice Girls.
Want to do some role play? Okay, Terry, you are the husband. You want to leave Marion. Sarah, you want to leave Sarah. Sarah, you are happy as things are.
Okay, Sarah, I've got something to say to you.
Yes.
I'm leaving you.
Okay, that's a shame.
No. You've accepted it then.
Yes, of course. Why would I want to keep him here if he isn't happy?
Marriage isn't all about happiness, Sarah. It's about stability and compromise. He wants to leave. You don't want him to go, so you compromise. He goes in the spare room. That way, he can have some space without leaving the family home. Everybody's happy.
Everybody?
Now, try again, Terry.
I'm leaving you, Sarah.
And you say, no, you're bloody not.
Oh, please.
No. I'll move your Star Trek lamp into the little bedroom.
Done.
I think we need to bring out our first guest. Alan, let's do it.
All by herself, she doesn't want to be all by herself. It's Marie.
Hello, Marie. Tell us your story, pet.
I've told so many people this story over the last 2 weeks.
Aren't you bored of it?
Have you been on other shows? Because if you've been on other shows, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel.
Not other shows. Family, friends, my boss at work, over and over again.
Do you want me to tell them your story?
Would you mind?
Not at all. I've got your email here.
I'll do it. Be like one of my audio books.
Marie?
That's fine, as long as it isn't me.
Dear Sarah, 2 weeks ago...
What are you doing?
I'm bringing it to life.
Just read it straight.
Can we have a bed of music underneath it?
Maybe it is better if I read it.
Oh, man.
Dear Sarah, 2 weeks ago, my husband of 7 years told me it was over. Well, he didn't even tell me. He sort of hinted at it.
Are you sure that's the case, then? Maybe you picked it up wrong.
I didn't pick it up wrong. He was grumpy, but he'd just given up smoking, so I assumed that was it. I asked him a list of things. Was it work? No. Was it money? No. To boost my self-confidence, I put myself in the list, expecting him to go, well, don't be silly, love, and, you know, give me a smile. Was it me? Silence.
Oh, yes, it's definitely you, then.
Marion?
I'm trained in these things.
Let her get on with it, we're just getting to the good bit.
I asked him why, and he just sat there, relief spread all over his face, like he'd just done a massive shit he'd been holding in for months.
How colourful.
What if he was the one?
The one doesn't exist, pet.
No, there's at least five ones.
Yeah, and there's one for every decade. 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. And then by the time you reach your 70s, you just have no strings attached sex with whoever's in the same home.
But my nan and granddad were married for 60 years.
Yes, but were they happy?
They died last year. My nan died, and then a fortnight later, my granddad died. He died of a broken heart.
That's not a medical condition. Do you mean heart attack?
No, he missed her so much he couldn't live without her.
For once I agree with Marion, it's not a medical condition. I think I figured it out. If she died and a fortnight later he died, it's just because he can't cook. And a man of that era wouldn't feel very comfortable asking for help. Hello, hot point. I've looked in the oven and there doesn't seem to be any tea in there.
Regardless, they couldn't live without each other. That's what I thought I had with the arse.
Sorry?
I decided to change his name in my phone to the arse. Now whenever I get a text, it says text message from the arse and it makes me laugh.
That's a great idea. I'm going to remember that.
Thank you. It's a start. I need to know, how do I get past this? It feels like I'm stuck. Like, my feet are in glue and my head is just like, what did I do? I've been through my diary and I can't see anything.
You're never going to find it, but we can help you move forward. Marion, what should Marie's first step be?
Have you tried rejecting rejection?
I don't think I want him if he doesn't want me. I want someone who thinks I'm brilliant, not someone who used to think that.
Do you have a solicitor?
I think she means move on emotionally.
Yes, but she'll need a sofa and cups in her new life. He might have stabbed her in the heart, but he shouldn't get all the furniture as well.
I think he might need to sleep with someone new.
Terry, she's not ready for that yet. She may never sleep with another man.
Won't I? God, this is even more rubbish than I thought.
Can't help. Bunk up can be very therapeutic.
Really?
He's right. It might be a bit soon for you now, but it can help, particularly if he's either really attractive or very young.
Yes, but how am I going to get a 24-year-old bloke to sleep with me?
Just got to ask him.
Just like that?
Yes. Men only ever normally turn down sex if it's with a family member. Young men love older women.
It's because older women can teach younger men new things.
It's true. My last partner was a vivacious woman called Beryl. What she couldn't teach me about cash in the attic wasn't worth knowing.
I have a few pointers for you, Marie.
Do you have a pamphlet?
No.
I have a pamphlet.
Just because you've typed it up and folded it over, that doesn't make it more valid. What's your pamphlet called?
How to Win Back Your Lover.
I don't want to win him back.
What you need to do is accept it.
I have other pamphlets.
Go on.
When begging isn't enough, or becoming the wife he wants.
Not you, Sarah.
It's really hard, but if you accept it, you can move on. It's the hardest thing you'll do, but after that, it's all upwards.
Let's make it into a pamphlet. What would it be called?
How about When Everything Turns to Dust?
Step one is accept it.
Yes, until that happens, nothing else can.
Is step two sleep with a new bloke?
No, that's later. Step two is appoint a friend.
Oh, don't talk to me about friends.
Oh, I like friends.
What's up, Marie?
My best friend, Kim, who I've known since I was five, has been no help whatsoever.
You brought her with you, didn't you, so we can help her to help you?
Yeah, she thinks she's about to meet a secret crush.
Does she think we're Trisha?
Ricky Lake.
Well, let's bring her out. Alan?
She's here under false pretenses. It's Kim.
Hello.
Hello, Kim. Welcome to the show.
Is that him?
Is that who?
My secret crush. Marie said I'm coming on here to find out my secret crush. Is that him?
Oh, no, he's never just on the stage, love. There's always a big to-do, and then they bring him out, and you're disappointed because it's the weedy, nervous bloke from the office. And you thought you'd just be happy for anyone to like you, but it turns out you're not.
Kim?
Yes?
There's no secret crush.
I could go out with him. He's funny.
I thought you were here to help me. They're going to help me deal with my split and I want you to be involved.
Oh, this again.
Does she go on a bit?
Well, we've all had breakups. I've tried to help, but she just wasn't interested.
You said I should have a makeover.
Oh, that's harsh.
She isn't wearing any makeup today.
She's just had her heart broken and this is the radio.
I gave her my advice. Everyone knows the ABC of breakups. A, sleep with him one last time, but do something you always refuse to do so he can see what he'll be missing.
If it's something you always refuse to do, why would you want to do that?
So he can see what he's missing.
Or finally get the thing he always wanted.
B. Cut his face out of all of your photos and fill it with pictures of Jude Law. And C. If you ever need to make a decision, just think, what would Cheryl Cole do?
Now you're talking. Victoria Beckham would put on massive sunglasses and become a fashion icon. She is so brilliant. The way she took her man back after you'd been with that woman, you know, the one with the pig. She's an inspiration to all women. Does your bloke cheat on you?
No.
Sounds like a wasted opportunity to me.
Not all men cheat, Terry. My husband has never cheated on me.
That's because he's dead inside. It's hard to attract a woman when you're dead inside. I would bet that he's a shell of a man.
He's perfectly adequate. He brings in a good wage and is tidy around the house.
You see, Marie, this is what happens when you don't let them go.
No, he's dumping her. Didn't she tell you? He doesn't want her anymore. I thought it might be her weight. I mean, she's always had a pretty face, but there used to be a lot less of it.
Do you see what I have to put up with? It's not helping.
Are we still on step one? This is going to be a terrible pamphlet.
Okay, step two, appoint a friend. Kim, do you love Marie?
We've known each other since we were five. Of course I love her. I want what's best for her, but I think stringing it out isn't good for her.
Posh, just get on with it. Have a pedicure.
I want to get on with it, but I don't know how.
Kim, you need to be Marie's I love you person. She's been used to telling her husband that she loves him and hearing it back from him. You can help fill that void.
I'd be a better I love you person than he ever was.
What Marie needs you to do, Kim, is to put hubby in a little box. Just put him away in a little box. No name calling, no I told you so, just in a little box.
I'll get him put in a box if you want.
What, killed?
How much?
The bloke who does my old mum's garden, he can get anyone buried alive for £50.
I've got some overtime coming up. I could treat you if you like.
It's like you've never broken up with anyone before. Remember Craig?
We always said we'd never talk about Craig.
Maybe we need to talk about Craig. What happened with Craig, Kim?
He left her. She reacted by losing 4 stone and sleeping around on holiday.
It was Malaga. It's expected.
I didn't.
No, because you were with the arse. For the first time, men were flocking to me, and I took advantage of it. I'd just got my boobs, and I wanted to show them off.
Good for you.
What you've done is a classic case of rebellion, or its more common term, needy slut. You slept with all of those men to try and get Craig back.
OK, maybe rampant holidays don't suit everyone, but what do we do then? How else can we make her feel nice other than dressing her up and showing her to boys?
Marie, do you like animals in clothes? Photos of animals in clothes have got me through some of my toughest times.
I do walk along to the pet shop in my break when I can't stop crying.
Do you?
Now imagine those kittens in jeans.
Wow.
Step. Oh, what are we up to?
Animals in clothes. This is not a pamphlet anymore.
Step four, burn all of your knickers.
I did this. My doctor suggested it.
The day you decided to go commando is one of the best days of your life, believe me.
No, she's going to buy new ones. There's something very therapeutic about knowing that the underwear you're wearing has never been touched by your ex.
How would he have touched them?
You know, with his teeth.
My husband does sometimes empty the tumble dryer, but he takes no pleasure in handling my unmentionables.
And the final step is get yourself a counsellor.
Hello.
Get yourself a good counsellor.
My rates are very reasonable.
A counsellor is like a hairdresser. You try a couple and then find one who totally gets you, who you can work well with and who you won't have to explain your haircut to every time you walk in. Marion, you are the supercuts of counsellors. There's no appointment necessary, there's no queue, and yes, your hair will be shorter, but ultimately, you'll have to get your friend to straighten your fringe.
I am affronted. I have a good mind to leave the stage now.
Kim, do you think you can help Marie through this?
Yes. If I have to, I'll buy a bloody dog and put shoes on it. I think that might solve all problems. Can we still go out and get all dressed up?
I'm not going clubbing.
It's changed.
Yeah, it's called Oceanic now, not De Niro's. Oh, everything's changed.
Look, you'll be fine, but you do need to fill your time in.
She's right.
And if going out doesn't suit you, then we can stay in. How about we do face packs and our nails and eat cake and watch slushy films?
Sounds great, but do they have to be slushy films?
OK, how about films where people get murdered?
Can it be a film where husbands get murdered?
Yes, by their wives.
Ex-wives.
Exactly.
Last words of advice, Terry?
Go commando, and remember, £50 is not a lot of money.
Marion?
Go to Supercuts and cling on to him if you love him.
Oh, shut up. This is from me, from experience. Cry a lot. Eat as much trifle as you possibly can. Allow a young man to make you feel like a woman again and get the fire in your belly back.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks. I'll look after her. You can be sure of it.
Now, Now, we haven't got much time left for our second story, but I'm sure if we just bring him out, we can offer a few words of advice. He's trying to split up with his partner, but doesn't know how to go about it. Alan, bring him out.
Tonight is the night that two become one. It's Marion's husband, Colin.
Marion?
What are you doing here?
This is awkward.
This is brilliant.
I've tried every way of telling you. I thought if I came on the show, you wouldn't be able to ignore me.
I don't ignore you. I was very complimentary about your tofu stew last night.
It's not enough. You're a lovely woman, Marion.
I am.
But we've grown apart. We have separate lives.
Like Phil Collins and that bird. Are they still together?
You never ask how my novel's coming on.
How is your novel coming on?
Did you know I was writing a novel? A novel about a self-obsessed counsellor who fixes other people's problems all the while ignoring her own.
She doesn't fix anyone's problems, pet.
That sounds like a terrible novel. A bit touchy-feely. What you want is a dead body, right at the beginning, in a park.
Oh, hello. You a writer?
No, I've always fancied myself as one. And after reading Posh Beckham's book, I'm inspired. She is inspirational.
You never have time for us. I've tried to fix things.
How did you try?
I ask about your work. I listen to you when you get in from work and whinge about the Geordie and the Cockney. Sounds like a children's book, doesn't it? Like The Rabbit and the Hare, only more regional.
You two are made for each other.
I used to think that, but not anymore. You bring your work home with you. Well, it's mainly pens.
I didn't know you liked stationery.
I've tried to get through to her so many times. I want us to split up. I painted a banner and hung it on the bridge on the A40 so you drive under it on the way to work. But there was a diversion that day. I tried to tell you at the top of the Eiffel Tower when we were in Paris 2 years ago. I hired a skywriter, for God's sake. I've spoken to your mother and I've got her blessing. Marion, will you leave me?
You can get up now, pet.
Did you put something in a cake so it'd be a surprise when she bit into it?
No, but I did lay divorce papers under a quiche once. But she said it was too moist, just had the salad. I've tried everything. I've written you letters, but you wouldn't open them. I've sent you emails. I changed my Facebook status to Colin is now single. You logged in as me, changed it back to married, and put I will not leave my wife on my wall. I am leaving you, Marion. Thank you.
I won't allow it. I am rejecting your rejection.
For years you've walked all over me.
I was training you.
To be a bloody doormat. Marion, you'll be fine. Bring your underwear, dogs and hats. We'll be fine.
I'm sorry, Colin.
I need you to understand why I'm doing this.
Is it because she's a cow?
We've grown apart. I need a woman who finds me attractive.
You are attractive. You have a lovely head of hair.
I do, yes. But it's not enough.
Sounds like it's been dead in the water for a while. When was the last time you enjoyed each other's company?
Made love in the nude.
Oh. Mm. I don't know what to say. I'm lost.
This is so sad.
Marion, do you want a cuddle?
Yes.
Oh, you're lovely and soft. I wasn't expecting that.
I feel like a reverse butterfly. I'm going to go into a chrysalis for a while and come out new.
And attractive to birds.
Sometimes relationships just end. It's no one's fault, just a natural end. But for every natural end, there's a beginning. Marion?
Yes?
I love you.
What?
I love you. You're a rubbish counsellor, but your heart's in the right place. I love you.
I love you back.
See, it helps.
I'll be off then.
Well, that was an unexpected ending. Thanks for joining us today on Sarah Millican's support group. Thanks to all of our guests and experts. What have we learnt? We've learnt that all relationships are recoverable from. With good friends, a good counsellor, and nice new pants, you can achieve anything. Trifle helps. And this is my motto. Don't look for the light at the end of the tunnel. Stomp along there and turn the bloody thing on yourself. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Ruth Brass, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Joe Neary, Catherine Parkinson and Martin Treneman. It was produced by Leanne Cook. welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. If you've never been to one of our meetings before, come on in and sit yourself down. There's a kettle at the back and some wagon wheels and all. This is where we gather in person and on the wireless, revel in each other's misfortune and solve people's problems. My usual problem is being unfit and eating food that will kill me. I mean, like, from the inside. I don't mean, like, trying to catch a badger and cook it. I'm currently looking into alternative lifestyles. I no longer walk past sports shops. I look in the window. I looked up a gym on the internet the other day and compared the price with another gym. I still have not yet entered a gym. I think the problem is that I don't really like the people who go to gyms. I want to go somewhere where no one knows what they're doing, most people are crying, and you can watch back-to-back episodes of Coach Trip while standing still on a treadmill you don't know how to start. Maybe in the Millican gym there'd be reluctant cats to chase for cuddles. And carrier bags pinned up on the wall from all the shops that you're usually banished from for being bigger than a size 14. In the Millican gym, the music played will have words and will mostly be cheesy pop. And the personal trainers will all look like Gary Barlow. And say things like, 10 more minutes and you can watch a Glee. You can burn off extra calories by running on the treadmill and you slank it. And if you turn up in Lycra, the rest of us are allowed to twang it until you change it to something more baggy. Sadly, the Millican gym does not exist. So until it does, I will avoid mirrors and squeeze myself into the cubicles in the fitting rooms of Topshop, oblivious to the glares from the smoke 17-year-old staff who have no futures. Ah, oh, that's better. See how getting your problems off your chest can help? This is what we do here. We talk things through. And when I say we, I mean all three of us. It's time to bring out our resident experts. First up, the proper one. The one who's been doing this adequately for years, has an acceptable amount of qualifications, and is successful enough to have an office, but not a receptionist. Alan, bring her out.
He liked it, he put a ring on it, then he took the ring off it again. She's a single lady. It's Marion.
Hello, Marion.
Hello, Sarah.
How have you been?
Today isn't about me.
No, but you've undergone a massive life change since the last series. Your marriage ended.
I remember.
How are you dealing with it?
I have 7 new hobbies.
Are any of those dating?
No, but I am doing a flirting course at the town hall. It's going very well indeed. I am now licking my lips at bus stops.
But you don't get the bus.
No, I flirt, then get in the car.
Let's bring out our second expert. We wanted a real person on the panel. You voted for him again. Alan, bring him out.
He can't stay long. He's got an airport pickup to be late for. It's Terry.
Hello, I'm Terry and I drive a cab.
Hello, Terry. What have you been up to since the last time I saw you?
Well, at the end of the last series, I realised you girls are making me a bit soft. I toughed myself up by living in the wild for a bit, living off my wits and all that.
Bloody hell, how long for?
Four ages.
We haven't seen you for almost a year since then.
If you like.
How long did you really go for?
It was the longest 9 days of my life.
You're a rubbish Bear Grylls. Did you at least drink your own wee?
No, there was a pub. Anyway, I'm back now and 100% man. This course I'm on is helping.
Oh, what course? Flirting?
Don't be silly. I could run that course, my darling. No. Male chauvinism for the modern man.
You could run that course.
I did, but they found out I went to the vagina monologues and I got sacked.
I think it's time we brought out our first guest. Alan, who is it?
The sun never shines on her TV. It's Linda.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Linda. So what's your problem, love?
Is it that you're a woman?
Terry.
Sorry, I just assumed...
Linda, please continue.
Well,
is it that you wish you were a bloke? Because blokes are better in general, aren't they?
Linda, I'm sorry about this. Terry, are you going to be like this for the whole show?
No, sorry. Don't you worry your pretty little head about it.
Thinks I'm pretty.
No, you're clever. You're the other kind. Linda... Linda, tell us your story.
Thanks. Well, I've been married to Brian for 10 years and I love him, but he's quite controlling. You know, he doesn't want me to learn to drive. He says he likes picking me up and dropping me off. He doesn't like some of the clothes I wear. I mean, I happen to love the colour peach. He says it makes me look like sick. So he started choosing my clothes for me. You know, it's mostly basques and jogging trousers. He knows I like to be comfy. The worst one is, whenever we sit down to watch television together, he automatically takes the remote and we have to watch his programmes all night. It's not fair, I pay my way, and I work just as hard as he does. I should get my share of the telly time.
You're right, that isn't fair. Let's see if the audience have any similar stories. Who have we got? Let's have a look. Hello, love, what's your name?
Edith.
Edith, and what was the argument that you had?
Well, the constant arguments in my house seem to be about my dad's technological illiteracy because he can't seem to use any computer equipment in the house.
Are you incredibly literate on a computer?
As most teenagers are, yeah, but the thing is, most of the stuff is...
Does your dad get you to do things, or is it just the case that you're just quite smug? Because I'm getting that, to be honest.
Sometimes he has no common sense. Like, you know how sometimes you have to fill out forms online? He had to do a particularly long form, and we just had the printer going for about 20 minutes, and I've got it here, actually. He printed out... I've stuck them together with sellotape so he could draft it out in paper.
Well, that looks incredibly sensible to me.
It took him nearly 3 hours to complete with printing and writing and stapling.
But did he do a good job in the end?
He then had to type up on the computer anyway. He's training to become a teacher, which is slightly worrying.
Have you done... Can you touch type?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's good to have something to fall back on.
Bless you. Thank you very much, lovely family. Have we got anybody else? Oh, we've got a fella at the front. Hello, fella. Hello, Flower. What's your
Hello,
name?
Hello, Steve.
Hello, Steve. And tell me what ridiculous argument you've had.
We had an argument about an apple crumble. We had our Sunday lunch and said, right, we'll have a nice apple crumble after the Sunday lunch. And he said, right, let's have plenty of custard, 2 tins. And I said, you don't have 2 tins of custard. You just have 1 tin of custard. That's greedy. So he said, no, we want 2 tins. So he got rid of the apple crumble and put it in the bin.
You're quite a passionate man about custard, aren't you? So he put the crumble in the bin.
The crumble in the bin. So all I could smell was this apple crumble coming from the bin. And I was walking past thinking, is it bad to eat it?
If you'd not told anybody, I don't think
we
would have
judged
you. Haven't we all eaten something out the bin? Well, now it's clear that I have. Thanks for backing us up. So you didn't get any crumble?
No crumble. And then it was like, oh, you have an ambrosia now.
So that's what an argument is called.
An ambrosia.
An ambrosia. Yeah. And this is understood between you two, obviously, that you know what an ambrosia is.
And family and friends.
And family and friends. That is brilliant. And do they have ambrosias as well, or is it just...
They call it ambrosias now, yeah.
That is brilliant. Yeah. You've just brought out a new phrase.
Oh, you never guess what? We had a proper ambrosia the other day.
That is a great story. Thank you very much. Can you give me a round of applause? We had a fella at the back, I think I saw another hand. Hello, love, what's your name?
Dave.
Hello, Dave. What's your ridiculous argument that you've had?
Well.
Serious, isn't it?
Well, you know. Well, we've had an argument about whether you should Hoover first and then dust, or dust first and then Hoover.
Okay, is this you and a partner?
Yes.
And what is your opinion?
Hoover first and then dust.
It's not a common opinion. Can I ask what you base this on?
Well, you hoover, 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 and it blows out loads of air, and that blows more dust up into the air, so then you've got more dust, and then afterwards you wait for the dust to settle, and then you dust.
But then you dust the dust onto the floor.
Well, it's...
And then you have to hoover again. You might never get out of your house. Have you got your partner with have you?
Yes.
Okay, do you want to pop them on?
Hi.
Hello, love. What's your name?
Nicole.
Hello, Nicole. And what is your reasoning? Is it the normal reasoning? sorry to be so basic as to who I'm siding with. Do you think that you should dust first and then hoover? Why?
Because dust falls on stuff and then on the floor, yeah.
So, have you resolved this argument at all?
No. It's ongoing every Saturday when we try to do some dusting and hoovering.
Have you ever done any sort of weird things to sort of prove to each other that the other one is right?
I have sprinkled some dust on a shelf, maybe, to show that it makes sense.
Where did you get the dust from that you sprinkled on the shelf?
The dustpan.
Well, I feel like such an idiot now.
Do you see how, what I have to put up with, Sarah? Everywhere.
In a minute.
Yeah?
It should be dusting in the first place, mate.
Man of the people has spoken. Thank you very much to Nicole and Dave. Can you give them a round of applause? Thank you. Thank you very much, lovely audience. You were ace. Okay, Linda, let's tackle the most important one of your problems. You never get to choose what you watch on the telly.
No, never.
Yeah, but what does he do for a living? Because men need to de-stress when they're getting from work.
He's a driver and I work in a nursing home.
Yeah, well, driving is very stressful. It needs to wind down. I knew a bloke once who used to drive dead bodies about. He said he used to get so stressed, he ended up shouting at him in order to help him calm down.
Marion, what do you think? Surely Linda's job is pretty heavy going too.
That's true, but Linda doesn't have to drive dead people around.
Well, neither does Brian. He's a delivery driver for Tesco. He just has to carry bags of shopping to people's houses. He's supposed to leave it at the door, but he likes going in. He likes to smell people's living rooms. He says most of them smell of Febreze and death. So, yes, just lifting bags and driving.
Whereas you lift nannas for a living.
Exactly. And wipe them and cuddle them.
Oh, you cuddle nannas and get paid?
Yeah, it's great. We've got some proper huggers in at the moment. You sort of want the fat ones to live longer, do you know what I mean?
What sort of television programmes does your husband watch?
Sport, crime dramas, the news. It's all doom and gloom. And he just ends up shouting at the telly.
It's a surprise he doesn't like EastEnders. It's perfect for that.
Mm. Maybe you shouldn't be so reliant on the television. I mean, I just lived in the wild for a very long time. There was no telly there. I did a lot of thinking when I was out there. Thinking is better than the telly. If it hadn't been for my mind and my binoculars, the time would have really dragged, I could tell you.
Binoculars?
Yeah, I bought them to help me make a fire.
That's a magnifying glass, Pet.
Yeah, right. Well, it turns out they're much more useful for looking in people's windows anyway.
Like in rear window?
Yeah, only I didn't have a broken leg. I was just bored. I didn't see any murders. Just couples arguing and the odd boob.
What did you think about when you were in the wild? Why am I here?
Well, no, I knew why I was there. I made the decision to go there. No, I made a massive to-do list for when I got back.
What was on the to-do list?
Use binoculars more, that sort of thing.
Linda, Linda, Linda. What you need is a leaflet from my new post-divorce Stop Crying range. It's called Doormats Sometimes Need a Hoover. Do you understand the advice I'm giving you?
Not really.
I think you might need to explain a little more, Marion. I'm not sure I'm following either. How can she make a husband see that they should share the remote?
Oh, you can't do that. It's a man's thing, the remote. Like a woman is in charge of the biscuit tin.
I agree with that. It's one of the reasons I like living on my own so much. I always know how many biscuits I've got left. But the remote control isn't a man's thing. Surely they should just share the telly and each watch programmes they like.
Telekinesis.
What?
Telekinesis. The power to move something by thinking about it without the application of physical force. It's been proved as the only way you can get a remote control out of a man's hand.
Or when he dies, their grip slackens almost immediately.
OK, Marion's suggestion is telekinesis. Terry, what are your thoughts?
She needs to bargain with him.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
For example, me and my girlfriend...
You've got a girlfriend. When did this happen?
Sandra. She found me in the wild. She thought I was raised by wolves. She took me in. It was like a scene from Curly Sue. She put me in a bath and bought me clothes, and now she's teaching me to talk.
said you couldn't talk?
Yeah, well, at first it was easy as we didn't do much talking. You know what I mean? Just grunts. You know what I mean?
Yes, it means you were quiet.
He means they were doing it.
What, for fun?
You're not very far into your flirting course, are you yet?
Me and my girlfriend watch television together. I watch America's Next Top Model with her, and she watches all the gardening programmes with me.
But how did she convince you to watch America's Next Top Model?
The trick is to make it sound like a chore, but secretly, it's usually something you might like anyway. Like, I had no idea there'd be so many semi-naked women on the model programme. I mean, true, they look like skeletons, but I've always been aroused by Halloween, so it works for me.
You could try what I do, just lie about the programme.
Don't you think he'd realise it wasn't the news as soon as he saw Pat Butcher?
Well, yeah, but you could tell him it was a crime drama.
There is a lot of crime in EastEnders. It's one of the reasons I don't watch it, and I can't understand the accent.
They talk like me, and you understand me, don't you?
I'd love a cup of tea, thank you.
So, you think I could convince Brian that EastEnders is a crime drama?
Absolutely. My boyfriend still watches Sex in the City with me, waiting for the zombie subplot to kick in.
No, he don't. He watches it because it's full of pretty girls with potty mouths.
I don't care why he watches it. The main thing is...
he watches it.
Exactly.
I can't wait to watch all of this telly. I hope one of your solutions works.
And if not, remember, you can just buy one of those universal remotes in Asda and override his decisions.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
OK, final words, everyone. Terry?
Reason with him. Remind him most of your programmes have naked birds in them.
Marion?
Try to move things with your brain.
Alan?
Just be yourself. This is pre-recorded.
And my advice is just to get him hooked on EastEnders. Tell him someone has to get murdered every 3 months. It's in the contract with the BBC. Oh, and keep an eye on the Argos catalogue. It's rumoured they're bringing out a new universal remote that controls the washing machine and cooker as well.
I'd happily give the rights to those remotes up. Thanks, everyone. Omnibus, here I come.
Let's give her a round of applause. OK, it's time for this week's second problem. Our next guest is Matthew. Alan, bring him out.
He's got no friends to hold him down, to make him fret or make him frown. It's Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Sarah. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. So your problem is friends related.
My problem is to do with friends. I don't have any. I just moved to a new town and I don't know anyone.
What made you move to a town where you knew no one?
Are you on the run?
Have you lost your memory?
No.
Maybe you're on the run, but I've also lost your memory.
I'm not. I haven't.
Well, how do you know?
That's a very good point, Terry. Let's do the simple amnesia test. It's called What Am I? I am a small orange fruit.
Orange.
Let me finish. I am a small orange fruit, often made into jam.
Marmalade.
My first is in apple and also in pear.
How is this finding out whether Matthew has amnesia?
She wants to know if I remember the word apricot.
Peach. Is it peach?
Well done, Matthew.
How is that a test of my memory? Surely you'd be better off asking me something about my past.
True. What was your first pet's name?
Mother and father wouldn't allow us to keep animals.
Is that true?
I've no idea. I've just met him.
Why don't we just let Matthew tell his story? Matthew, tell us why you moved, love.
I split up with my girlfriend. She told me it was over and I just didn't want to live in that house, street, town anymore. Everything reminded me of her. The bookshops, the quiet little cafes, Colin, the town Lothario.
That's so sad.
Even the Lidl?
Well, she was my little sweetheart.
Oh, you make jokes.
Well.
I try. So I moved away. I live in a village in Lincolnshire, but I have no social life.
Let's see if the audience have any similar stories. What's the weirdest place that you've made a new friend? Who have we got? Let's have a look. What's your name, love?
It's Steve.
Hello, Steve. What is your story?
Well, probably the weirdest place I've made a new friend was in the local genito-urinary clinic.
Wowzers, that's a hell of a setting. I love the story already.
I was being treated for a twisted testicle.
Had somebody done that to you? Or... is that something that happens naturally, or...?
No, I'd actually been standing too close to a tool drawer when it opened.
Ka-ching!
And while I was there waiting to be seen, quite an attractive young lady came over and tried to chat me up.
Had she already had a look?
I'm going to go for it. It's good. What he's got down there, it's worth fighting for.
I think it was the fact that I had to wear a sling at the time.
And you broke your arm as well. You had a sling on your bits and bobs?
Yes.
Wow. So it wasn't in a cast as well, because that always makes things look bigger. And is she a friend now, still?
Yeah. I did get to go to her wedding. I actually introduced her to her husband.
Oh, did you get to do a speech and tell the lovely story you've just told us?
I did actually mention it at the reception, yes.
That is a brilliant story. Thank you very much, Steve. Let's give Steve and his testicle a round of applause. Have we got anybody else who's made a friend in quite a weird situation? We've got a nice lady there. Hello. And tell me how you met your new friend.
She kind of took my husband's job.
It's good to hear that you've let it go, though.
Okay, absolutely.
So you didn't hit it off at work?
No. And then we went to a friend's barbecue. It was quite dull, the barbecue, until we decided to do line prop dancing.
I don't really know what that is. Can you explain what line prop dancing is?
You know how you have a washing line and then you have a prop that holds it up? Well, instead of pole dancing, we did line prop dancing.
I can't just say one thing. What job is there that a woman can do better than a man?
Dusting.
And you've been good friends ever since?
Our best friends, yeah.
Oh, bless you. Excellent. And you're not bothered about the whole husband job thing?
No, he's got a much better job now.
He's got a much better job. That is brilliant. Thank you very much for joining in. Thank you very much, Ben. What brilliant audience members we have. Thank you very much for that. I'm sure that's given Matthew some food for thought.
Is there a pub where you live?
Yes, of course there is a public house.
You've been in it?
I don't drink.
Sorry?
I don't drink.
What? Nothing at all?
Well, of course I drink, you know. Elderflower cordial and as much red bush tea as I can get my hands on.
Was that another joke?
It was.
Thought so.
Marion, are you flirting?
Lesson two is find him funny, even if he isn't.
What's lesson one?
Be less choosy.
Look. You don't drink, that's when no one likes you.
I didn't say that no one likes me.
No, I know. It's what I'm saying now. No one invites a teetotaler to their party.
That's a little harsh. People who don't drink are better at conversation. I have had many a party without alcohol.
All right, then. What's the craziest thing that's ever happened at one of your parties?
We play games.
Oh, God.
Look, not everyone likes crazy. But surely you don't have to drink to socialise, Matthew. You can have just as much fun without alcohol.
That is classic non-drinking denial. I once woke up in Japan.
I don't really drink and I have fun.
No, you don't. What's the funniest thing you've ever done?
I used to eat snacks in the reference library.
You aren't allowed to eat in reference libraries. There are signs.
I know.
I used to drink. I tried going to the pub, but I think I'm a little sedate for them.
Dull, you mean.
Terry,
did you strike up a conversation in the pub?
Yes, I did. There were a couple of gentlemen sitting at a table and I asked if I could join them. They were very accommodating. I asked them what they were trying to escape by drinking so much.
That was your opening gambit?
Did you wake up with a crowd round you?
I think you need to read my leaflet. Awkward conversations, how to start.
Let's do some role play. Is that a good idea, Marion?
It is a good idea. Well done, Sarah.
Terry, you be the man Matthew is trying to befriend.
Matthew, begin with a greeting, please.
Good day.
It's not Dickens, mate. Say hello.
Hello, mate.
Don't patronise me.
Hello.
Better. Now, Terry, respond.
What do you want?
That's quite aggressive.
Sorry, it's part of my ninja training. Hello, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Oh, you're on a roll. Now ask him what he does for a living.
What do you do?
I'm a cabbie. I drive a black cab.
Oh, that makes sense.
Good, good. Honesty.
What's that supposed to mean?
And recover.
You look like you know your way around London. You have a very knowledgeable face.
Oh, he's good.
No, I'm good.
So our advice generally for Matthew is to start conversations in pubs, yes?
Yeah, and start drinking.
Are there any nice restaurants you could go to?
On my own? Not sure I could.
I think it depends what kind of restaurant it is.
Exactly. If it's at McDonald's, you've got to have friends. Can't have a Happy Meal on your own. Or you could pretend you're waiting for someone.
I was once waiting for somebody. He was running late, so he texted his order to us. The food arrived. He cancelled. I ate the lot. Then felt bad, but not bad enough to never do it again.
It's quite easy to make friends in Nando's.
Oh, the bit where you get your cutlery.
Exactly.
Is there a Nando's where you live?
There's one everywhere. Otherwise, people would go mad.
What about hobbies? What hobbies could Matthew try?
Drinking.
That's not a hobby.
You're right, it's a way of life. Aren't hobbies for children? I don't know any adults with hobbies.
I like to sew. I sew swear words onto cloth. If I get really angry, I just show them to people.
Isn't it quicker just to say them?
Quicker, but awfully vulgar. I can cross-stitch a good four-letter word in less than 5 minutes, seven if you want a border or multiple colours.
I don't really have time for hobbies. I suppose my boyfriend is my hobby because I like to do them in my spare time. Singles nights.
Well, they sound like they'd need alcohol.
Not at all. I used to go to one each Sunday at my local Tesco. If you just want to flirt, you hover by the biscuits. Those looking for something more physical just wait in the meat aisle.
How do you know that people aren't just shopping?
You can see it in their eyes. And they have a badge that says you'd be welcome in my bargain area any day on one side, and on the other it says bog off.
I don't really like badges.
Oh, well, not everybody leaves happy. OK, final words, Terry?
Start drinking or eating at Nando's. And even if it's empty, at least you've had some lovely chicken.
Marion?
Get better at recovering from your innate tactlessness and learn telekinesis.
That was the other problem?
Who doesn't want to learn telekinesis? That way you could move people's hearts.
Is that a joke?
Yes, it is.
Bit shit, wasn't it?
And my advice is to try to be more likeable. Be polite rather than honest. Honesty is only the best policy in court. Thank you so much for listening to this week's show. Join us next week when we'll meet the Harris family. They all have nits, but they're keeping them as pets. Good night.
Sarah Millican's support group was written by Sarah Millican and performed by Sarah Millican, Bruce Bratt, Simon Day, Alan Dedicote, Diane Morgan and Will Smith. It was produced by Leanne Coop. Welcome to Sarah Millican's support group.
And welcome to Sarah Millican's support group. As always, the three of us are here for you. We will help in any way we can. I've always been very upfront about how qualified the other two are. Terry, our resident cab driver, is a man of the people. He is outspoken and has lived a full life. His CV includes driving many buses and once upon a time, even a van. Marion, our counsellor, has done an hour at the Samaritans. And was the first in-house counsellor for Topshop. Comforting women in the fitting rooms and recommending shops where they were allowed to be normal. I, on the other hand, have never come clean about my skills in this field. I am good at helping. I once hugged a lady on an escalator after her boyfriend had clearly dumped her at the bottom of the escalator. Talk about metaphors. Another time, I helped a lady with her case while we both walked up the stairs. I just silently grabbed the handle as she struggled and took some of the weight. The look on her face said she thought I was going to nick it. It was in London after all. Then she saw that I looked a little bit like Mrs. Doubtfire and smiled. Mrs. Doubtfire would never nick a case. I am prepared for emergencies, not like my boyfriend who was mentally equipped at all times for a zombie apocalypse. I prefer to deal with more realistic possibilities. I have two she-wees in my car. One for me and one for a female passenger. I always have spare biscuits in the car. Correction. For the first 20 minutes of any journey, I have spare biscuits in the car. I love my flask, and I just bought myself a wind-up torch. I am literally invincible. So now, let's bring out our less qualified team members. First up is Marion. Alan, bring her out.
She's learning to flirt the old-fashioned way. It's Marion.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Marion. How are you?
Today isn't about me.
How's your flirting course going? Alan said you're doing it the old-fashioned way. What's that, glancing across the room at a tea dance?
Well, put it this way, I've opted out of the sexting module.
Sexting as in sex texting, wasn't it your forte?
Well, I started off okay. You had to pick another member of the group to sext. I picked Rita, as she seems like a nice girl. I thought it best to do same-sex so as not to encourage any of the men during what is purely an exercise. I'm the same at salsa dancing. Kathleen and I avoid having to squeeze up against perspiring men.
That's probably the only reason I'd go.
Yes, but that's you.
Oh, thanks very much.
I'm of a different era, less tactile.
You'd think sexting would be perfect for you, then. No physical contact at all.
Precisely. I was looking forward to it. I even dressed for the occasion.
What? In, like, sexy knickers and that?
God, no. No flannel night attire and my favourite bed cardigan. Why the uncomfortable? I even had a touch of frost on in the background.
Of course. So with sexting, are there special acronyms?
I think so. I picked them up as I went along, lick our lips, etc. Though I still have no idea who Rolf is.
OK, I think we need to bring out the remaining musketeer. Alan?
He's had a haircut, but just the back. It's Terry.
Hello, I'm Terry and I drive a cab. Sarah? Marion?
Hello, Terry, how are you? How's it going with your girlfriend?
Who?
Oh, I take it you've split up with her, then.
Who?
The lady you met when you lived in the wild.
Oh, that lady. She's still around, so I'm still living with her, but she's more of a sexy aunt.
Let's get cracking with the show. Our first guest is Rachel. Alan, bring her out.
Could she be the most beautiful girl in the world? Not yet. It's Rachel.
Hello, everyone.
Wow.
I know, thanks.
Why don't you tell us your problem, Rachel?
Well, my problem is that I think I'm addicted to plastic surgery.
Never. I assume that was all natural. I mean, you know, apart from the obvious bits.
She's so plastic, I'm surprised she hasn't got a keep away from fire label on her.
It's like a blow-up doll has come to life rather than the other way around.
What are you whispering about?
We're doing mean jokes about you that would hurt your feelings.
Oh, that's okay. I've had my feelings injected with serum that has hardened me to the ridicule.
I bet you're not on your own there. So let's ask our audience what they would change about themselves. Got a nice lady there in the lovely glasses. Hello, love. What's your name?
My name's Penny.
Hello, Penny. And what would you like to change about yourself?
My feet.
Smelly or...?
No, just large. It's humiliating shopping for shoes. Normal shops go to about a size 8 or a size 9, and my feet are size 12, which is a bit limiting. And there is a shop, a road near Baker Street, with 3 or 4 shops in, but you'd think they'd have a bit more sensitivity because one of them's called Elephant Feet.
Is that written on the carrier bag as well?
It is, yeah. So as if it isn't bad enough having a shoebox the size of a suitcase, you've got a carrier bag that says elephant feet.
So you would change your feet. What size feet would you like?
Well, 8 would do. Anywhere where I could just shop normally, really.
8's still massive, you know that, don't you?
Yeah, but...
Can't each wear men's shoes?
I do.
Well, you've got them chopped. Get on the internet, there'll be a website for blokes what like birds with big feet.
Thank you very much, Penny. Can we give her a round of applause? Have we got anybody else who has something they'd like to change about themselves? What's your name, love?
I'm Paul.
What would you like to change about yourself, Flower?
I'd like to be taller.
How tall are you?
5'6" and 3/4" and a smidge. Because you know when you see just over the horizon, I can't. So I don't know what's coming.
You don't know what, so you get knocked down a lot, or?
It happens all the time.
Do you think, how tall do you think you have to be to be able to see over the horizon?
5'7".
Just a smidge away, aren't you, love? So you'd like to change your height. Is there a way you think we could do that? Can we help you with that?
I think platform shoes are the only answer.
Platform, and you could maybe get the ones like film stars wear, so it doesn't look like you've got like massive platforms on. Unless you want to just, you know, those tins with the strings, like when you're a bear. Just do that. You couldn't run for a bus, but you know, you look pretty snazzy.
I was thinking of going for the whole Noddy Holder 70s look.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're a very confident short man, aren't you? Is there anything else you'd like to change about yourself? Just assuming, sorry, by looking at you. I'm just joking. Thank you very much, Paul. Can you give me a round of applause? Thank you very much, lovely audience. You were ace. So, Rachel, tell me how this addiction to plastic surgery started.
Well, the first thing I had done was getting my eyebrows waxed.
Really? I get my eyebrows waxed.
No, you don't.
Well, I used to, but then they asked if I wanted the rest of my face waxed while they were there, and I never went back.
It's a slippery slope. That's how they got me. It went from just eyebrows to eyebrows, chin, underarms, bottom legs, top legs, my feminine area, back.
Your back?
Yes. They convinced me I had a hairy back. I couldn't turn my head that far because of my neck hair. I didn't have a boyfriend at the time.
Not surprising. You sounded like you need a lot of upkeep.
Then I started on the surgery. I had my moles removed. They were going to give me them to keep, but I didn't have a bag for life with me at the time.
But these all sound fairly reasonable. Moles can be dangerous, especially if you like a sunbed.
I like a sunbed, exactly. It all started sensibly. I got one tiny boob job.
Tiny? What's the point of that?
And it snowballed. I got this done, that done, those done 4 times, that tightened, that loosened.
Loosened? Why on earth would anyone get that loosened?
It was too tight.
We might need to clear up what you got loosened, pet.
Nostril. I used to breathe like a dog as a kid. As well as that, they sucked a bit out of there and shoved it in there. That's been industrially cleaned and they've given me a spare one of those.
Is there any of you that hasn't changed?
Just my personality. My dad says I'm bubbly.
Expensive and bought by rappers.
And you need to put a spoon in it to keep it fizzy.
That's disgusting.
So, Rachel, have you stopped? Are you finally happy with what you look like?
Not happy, no. I think the last boob reduction was a mistake. What if my next boyfriend has massive hands?
Look how big my hands are.
Terry.
But the problem is, I can't afford it anymore.
Are you working at the moment?
Yeah, I work at Madame Tussauds.
I love Madame Tussauds. I went with my boyfriend once and he wanted his photo taken standing beside Jean-Luc Picard of Star Trek and also Hitler because he thought it would be funny. I took the Star Trek one, no bother. Then he stood beside Hitler. I took a picture, looked fine. But I wanted to take a safety second one. He started to look a bit uncomfortable as people were looking at him with his arm around Hitler. So I kept pretending that I'd messed up. In the end, I got 9 perfect photographs and a very embarrassed boyfriend.
That might have been me. I've been Hitler before.
So this is really a self-esteem issue. Am I right, Marion?
Textbook.
Oh, will there be homework?
Why do you think how you look is so important?
How everyone looks is important. It's what makes someone ask you out or smile at you in the street. I like being smiled at in the street. Time's gone by, I used to be able to smile back.
Marion, initial thoughts?
Well, my first thought is that it seems the economic crisis might actually be doing you some good.
But I'm all loose.
There are exercises for that, dear.
I can teach you them.
To do an exercise with you now, if that's okay. I'm just going to place this tea towel over your head so we can't see your face.
Like my grandma does with her budgie at night.
Exactly like that. Then we're going to do a role-play exercise.
Oh, is this going to be where Rachel finds out how to have a conversation with a man without using her beauty to beguile him?
What's beguile?
To beguile a man is to harden him.
To make a man say, wow, to charm him.
Now, Rachel, can you see anything?
Baked bean stains.
Sorry, we couldn't get a clean one.